Now we've Alison Keating, our psychologist, and Ray O'Neill, our psychotherapist, on the line. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Ray.
Yeah, I miss you too. Been in here.
I know, we miss you too.
Yeah, it's always good to see you. It's always good to see you. Now, the last time you were in, before we went to level five, we said that the next time you were on, we would talk about specifically pornography. So what we will do, because we need to give people warning about this, is that if there's anybody listening now who thinks they might have a problem with pornography, or they think their partner has a problem with pornography and they want advice from Alison and Ray, they could get them into us now, ray@rte.ie, and we'll have two or three for the next time you're on. Okay, so, and we'll give people warning about that and I'll mention it again. But for the moment, the ones that came in today, first one here, dear Ray and Alison, do 50-year-old men go through midlife crisis? And how can they be helped? My husband is obsessing over someone who's 10 years younger, who's telling him what he wants to hear, and he's on the verge of leaving to have an affair with her, and I don't know what to do. Alison, I'll go to you first.
Okay, so yes, absolutely. Maybe 50 is a new 40 for the midlife crisis. And maybe there's good reason for it. I think people at 50 feel physically kind of very well. They can be quite healthy. So, but it can be a time where you kind of feel kind of disconnected from yourself or your family or your relationships. There can be a level of distress, questioning the purpose of your life. Is this it? And people kind of look to how many years they have left. So I think it's quite common from any age up to 65 and beyond. It's interesting that it comes in from the wife. So I'm wondering, you know, what type of conversation they are having. Has he actually said he's going to have the affair and he's going to leave? Or, you know, are they going to counselling together? I'm hearing it from her perspective, but I wonder, does he feel he's having a midlife crisis?
Yeah, and it's an odd wording. He's on the verge of leaving to have an affair. Mm. It's not something, you don't go, listen, I'm thinking of having an affair. What do you think?
But maybe in fairness, maybe he has actually done that. Maybe he has actually said, you know what, look, I'm really unhappy and I'm thinking about having an affair. We're making an assumption on that.
Yes.
Or maybe she's feeling threatened by. So I suppose it's hard to work out what actually is really going on here, but it's all about bringing back to what's going on for him and what's going on for her. And if he's going to leave, honestly, there really is nothing that she can actually do. And I mean, the sexual part is a huge betrayal, but people can psychologically and emotionally leave, you know, marriages a long time before they actually physically go.
Yes.
So it's just worth having a conversation together, figuring out what's actually going on. You know, is there boredom or dissatisfaction or what issues are actually there at the moment?
And Ray, in your work, do you come across men having midlife crisis?
Of course, you know, because exactly for what Alison is saying, just, you know, once we get to midlife, you know, you're in the second half. And so, you know, the imminence of death and mortality haunts and scares us. And so many people want to live before they die. But unfortunately, some people make really bad choices and decisions. What I find interesting in this one is, and this is why I like myself and Alison doing this, is because we see different things. Because I'm wondering if the husband has told her or whether she's been looking at emails or phones.
Yes.
And is putting together pieces and creating a story. Because in the silence, because there is silence in this relationship, whatever the real story is, in silence we tend to create nightmares. So if she suspects, or indeed if she feels she has evidence, please talk to him about it. Because a bit like in the kind of porn conversation that we're going to have, a lot of people enjoy fantasy just as fantasy. They don't confuse it with reality, where she's decided he's on the verge of leaving to have this affair, and we've no other information. We're in the silence with her.
Mm.
My husband is obsessing over someone 10 years younger who's telling him what he wants to hear. And we've discussed this before as well. Of course, he's you know, he's in lust and he's in limerence, and he thinks that, you know, this is the way it's going to be forever. Of course, it won't be like that. You know, it'll become normal and maybe boring very quickly, and he'll probably rue the day that he decided to leave his wife. Or maybe not, I don't know. Just if people, I'm reading Love at the moment, which is Roddy Doyle's new book, and it's about two old friends going out for a drink, and one of them has started an affair, and they're having the chats as they get drunker, and it's an interesting one. Anyway, so what do we say to this woman then? So she needs to have the chat with him.
Yeah, like I'm also in agreement with Ray that we don't know what's going on in between the lines here. And then, you know, often our own fears and insecurities can be projected onto, like, if she feels disconnected from her husband, if she feels, and as Ray's saying, maybe it's come across emails or texts, which is a form of emotional kind of, you know, betrayal. It is, you know, she's feeling the disconnection already. So it's just about bringing up that distress that she's feeling, but having a conversation, seeing where you are, because I think the period of uncertainty beforehand is worse. It really is. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be awful if she finds out actually he does want to go, but he's not really there if this is how she's feeling at the moment.
Okay. And just a final question on this before we go to the next one. It's not that common, is it, for 50-year-old men to... Is it? Is it a phenomenon? It's just something new to me.
It's certainly, as someone approaching 50, I feel complicit in my own answer. You know, this is what I say about fantasy. Like, the husband could turn around and kind of go, oh, just look, that's Mary from work. I was only having a bit of crack. I thought it was a bit of harmless fun, which is easy for him to say. But until he understands her hurt, and until she hears his casualness, then they have a chance to have a conversation.
Okay, so the conversation is important. And in most cases, the conversation is important. Okay, second one then. Dear Ray and experts, that's you two. We sold our house during the summer and have bought another one which needed extensive renovations. Long story short, thanks to lockdown, etc., it took way longer than expected and we had to move out of the old one without having the new one ready. It was unlivable in, as it doesn't currently have a roof, so my husband's sister and husband kindly took us in. Things went south pretty quickly, and I just need some help keeping my cool. My sister-in-law is driving me cracked. I never realised what a control freak she is. She won't let me do any shopping of any kind because she says that she is the designated shopper in the house. I'd be afraid to bring a chocolate bar into the place. I do my best to keep the place as she has it, but after putting the dishes away the other day, I found a note saying that they were stacked incorrectly. Sorry. We had a birthday recently and I cut the cake incorrectly. Her face was like thunder when I didn't cut it into wedges like she told me after. I just cut it straight across. I offered to cook all the time, not allowed. As soon as I walked through the door, I have to tell her who I've interacted with that day, as she wants to keep appraised of close contacts. I'm doing all the usual deep breaths and reminding myself that it's not forever. My husband says that he doesn't want to get involved and just wants to keep the peace, but I'm afraid that I'm going to blow. Our house doesn't look like it will be ready this side of Christmas. Help! Yeah, there's comedy in there because I'm you know, looking at it from afar, but I'm sure if you're in the middle of it, it wouldn't be in any way funny. Ray?
I suppose around that, and it may seem like an obvious thing to say, but that the writer may hate me for saying this, but your sister-in-law is doing you a huge favour. I know she's being awkward or difficult as far as you're concerned, but I think if you can remember the thing to be grateful for, ahead of the things that annoy you, because in any relationship that are important to us, there are good things and difficult things. And sometimes we find the difficult things a little easier to manage or swallow or deal with when we remember the more important things. And bottom line, she's letting you, your husband, your family stay in the house. I'm presuming, well, even just staying, whether it's free of charge or whatever, holds that first and foremost. Yeah. She's being inconvenienced by you being there. It's her house, so if she wants to stack the plates in a certain order, which may seem strange to her, but to her that might be perfectly logical.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And you're in her house, and so as my parents used to always remind me, our house.
Our rules. You got cut off there. I'm sure you were saying our house, our rules, were you?
Our house, our rules.
Yes, yeah. I like what you say there, because I keep going back to, we spoke to Frank Greeley recently and he was saying that you can't be negative if you're appreciative. So, if you know, it's difficult to have the two things side by side. So if she can home in and concentrate on appreciating what her sister-in-law is doing for her, then she'll be less likely to be negative towards her. What do you say, Alison?
Rent. Oh, God, no, seriously.
Well, move out and rent. Yeah, sorry.
If it's even just for a month like that, you know, that the Christmas, I mean, I just see this as a catastrophe waiting to happen on Christmas. And I totally get what Ray is saying. However, it's very controlling, and I would be very curious as to the relationship they had before this. And she absolutely is letting her know that she not even is a guest, but she's an unwanted guest. So maybe the sister-in-law didn't actually want her there in the first place, and the husband said, come on, please. Mm-hmm. But it's so awkward. The worry I would have is that the damage to the relationship might be irrevocable, and her getting to a point of blowing could happen. I think the note is really passive-aggressive, do you know? I mean, like, you know, you barely do that to a child. So it's kind of like she's the boss and you're the child. I just think, can there be, and also that her husband is kind of abdicating any responsibility, like, and it's all been left on her. So there's a very strong kind of negativity between the two women and the sister-in-law saying, I'm the woman and the designated boss of the house. But I think you can have some, like, you can be civil as well.
Yeah.
And if it's not working, I honestly would say to, if possible, because I
rent,
think there'll be a hook
rent,
and a
rent,
below
rent,
the house
rent,
soon,
rent,
you know?
Yeah, rent. I think I have to go with Alison on this one, Ray. No, because it is about, you know, the future and how this and these months will affect the relationship between this woman and her sister-in-law in the future. Because there's nothing worse than families falling out.
Mm. And I think that potentially is a place where you could meet her before it gets into an explosion. Like, obviously, if there's other options like renting, then that just makes sense. But if there isn't, to just the two couples to sit down, but to start with the gratitude.
Mm.
And to start in that place with, you know, God, look, I'm sure it's been really annoying, and I'm sure it's been an inconvenience, and I'm sure, which at some level they have put the sister-in-law
out. Of course
out.
They have, yes. Yeah.
And just meet in that place and just say, look, hopefully, and then you have a conversation. But when you go on the offensive, when you offend...
That's, yeah, you've ruined it, yeah. I think you've dropped out again there. He always drops out at the most inopportune times.
No, I just think when you go on the offensive, you cause offense.
Oh, you offend, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were finished. Sorry, yes, yeah. Okay, so rent or else have an attitude of gratitude, and that might soften the whole situation. Thanks as always, Alison Keating and Ray O'Neill. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Ray.
Thank you very much. Mind yourselves.